Matt, welcome back to Around Cincinnati.
Nice to be here.
The last time you were here, we talked about a brand new initiative for the Carnegie, a project called Community Supported Art, or CSN for short, in tribute to its inspiration, Community Supported Agriculture. CSA clearly was a success as you're carrying on with it this year. Let's begin by saying exactly what this project is and how a plan that works for small farmers can be applicable to artists.
Yeah, the response was great. I mean, we sold out our first year, and we're hoping to do so again this year. The basic concept is not unlike a portfolio of prints, except that it incorporates objects. So like you would do if you bought into a community-supported agriculture program, you sort of reap a harvest. So we're doing the same thing, but instead of fruits and vegetables, you're getting art. So what we've done is we asked 9 artists to produce 50 works each. And then what happens is all of the people who become members of the CSA receive 9 pieces, 1 by each of the 9 artists. So there's 50 shares to be had throughout the community. For a really pretty reasonable price, you end up getting 9 pieces of art. And like a CSA, like a community-supported agriculture, you're not quite sure what you're going to get. It's whatever that harvest brings that season.
Who are the artists involved, and are there new participants this year?
Yeah, so we have 9 all-new artists this year from last year. We actually ended up with some artist groups this year, so you're kind of getting a little bit of bang for your buck in terms of numbers of artists. We have a group that goes by the Factory 15. You know them better as Leah Bush and Sandra Gross from Brazy Studio. We have a group called Future Retrieval, which are also known as Guy Michael Davis and Katie Parker. They're ceramics-based artists. Terrence Hammonds, who's a Cincinnati favorite. A group, Home Meadow Song, which operates out of an actual farm, and that is Peter Huttinger and Vicky Mansour. Tony Lunsman, Mark Patsfall, Sarah Caswell-Pierce, and then Bill Ross with a couple of collaborators, Bob Scheidler and Sharon Butler.
What's the response of the artists to all this? Are they a little surprised to find how this is handled?
Yeah, I think it's a slightly different model, but really what you're doing is asking artists to create something and you're giving them some parameters, which is not necessarily how everybody always works. But when you put it in the language of like a print edition or a portfolio, but expanding to create objects and sort of it's very open-ended, I think that is easier to understand. And so we give the artists a stipend to produce those works. And the per unit cost that they get is not high or anything like that, but it's also it supports the Carnegie, which is an organization that tries to support artists as well. So it's a lot of sort of giving in all directions is the idea.
Where did the idea of establishing the Carnegie Community Supported Art Initiative, where did that come from?
There's a group out of Minnesota called Springboard for the Arts. They were the first ones to really sort of codify this whole idea. So they produced a CSA for their community. It achieved so much success that they realized, hey, this is maybe something that we can model for other arts organizations that are similarly sized, which is to say, not giant and not completely tiny, or at least ones that are more community-minded. So what they did is they printed up just all of the information about how they did it, and for a really small nominal fee, organizations like the Carnegie, and then there's other organizations in Cincinnati that have done CSAs. There's a Cincinnati CSA. They can purchase that information and sort of replicate this. And then there's also other levels, like they would consult for different things. But really, it was that Minnesota Springboard for the Arts program that kind of kicked all this off. And there's dozens of these around the country now.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the sort of art that's in the boxes?
Well, it varies from year to year, and I'm not going to reveal too much about what's in it this year. So I can talk a little bit maybe about what happened last year, which is a little clue into what we're doing. It kind of runs a gamut. I was actually very surprised by the number of artists who ended up making 50 unique original works, which is kind of exciting. So the box from one box to the next varies. They're all done very similarly. They're all done within the same spirit or would be part of maybe like the same series. You could think of it that way. But it went from small paintings, small sculptures. We had some pieces that are kind of maybe live more in the design world, some photography. So it ran quite a range of types of art. And I expect the same thing this year. This is a pretty eclectic group of people.
Well, can people purchase shares or boxes now?
Yeah, the best way to do that is online. And that's the easiest thing to do. And there are only 50. And like I said, it did sell out last year. So we try to encourage people to get in there as early as possible. For those, you know, I guess I'd be speaking to a pretty narrow group here of 50 people, but for the people who bought last year, you can bring your crate in from last season and we'll give you a discount, encouraging recycling, of course.
What's the response of artists to the idea that they can package their art in this fashion?
That varies as well. I think a lot of artists are already familiar with this concept, people who had seen it last year and with other organizations. And like I said, I think that the idea of a portfolio of art is what kind of is the gateway into this for the artist. But packaging them with other artists that they might not have necessarily as much in common with is, I think, a new idea. And the fundraising angle of it is relatively modest. The real goal is to connect artists with collectors and collectors with artists. So what hopefully happens is that in the spirit of the agriculture component, it seeds those relationships. So artists get to know collectors that didn't know their work previously. Collectors find artists that they didn't know their work previously. So it becomes like a little bit of an incubator for that type of relationship.
So everyone will get to know everyone else at the harvest party in midsummer?
Yes. So July 24th is when we have our harvest party. And it should be a fun time. And that's when you come pick up your work. We do a little sort of a exhibition of all the 9 works that are on display. I mean, it's a chance to meet the artists. Hopefully all will be in attendance. And you get to have a little party and see what came in your crate.
What are some of the other summer plans for the Carnegie?
So the Carnegie programming over the summers, pretty theater and education focused. One program that's incredibly popular, we do a thing called Suits That Rock, which is a big fundraiser in the theater for us, in which we have 40 to 50 prominent business and community leaders throughout Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati, and they get on their rock star clothes and take the stage, and it's quite a show. This year, in honor of the All-Star Game, it's an all-star dance party. So that's the theme music, and there's like set changes and costume changes galore, and it's a pretty good time. And that's the last 2 Saturdays in June that that takes place. The other big thing we do is a thing called Camp Carnegie, and that's for children. So it's 2-week sessions, and it takes place all through June and July. And it's run by the fantastic group in the Carnegie Education Department. Those spots fill up quickly as well, so it's important to kind of get in there and get your spot reserved for Camp Carnegie.
The last time we talked, which was about a year ago, you had rather recently taken on the post of exhibitions director at the Carnegie. Have you been enjoying it, and are there special pleasures and challenges there?
It's a great time. It's a really fun space to work with, and I feel like we're making some slow, thoughtful improvements to sort of make that gallery experience even better. I like putting together shows in that building. It presents really unique challenges. I mean, it's an old library, so it's not like a regular, normal gallery space. But that presents a lot of opportunity to kind of build some shows that take advantage of those unique spaces. And that's what I enjoy. I love a program with a regional focus as well, because that's kind of where my heart is.
Well, thanks so much, Matt, for coming in to talk with us about this summer's community-supported art initiative, as well as what's coming up at the Carnegie.
Thank you so much, Jane. Always great.
We've been talking with Matt Distel, Exhibitions Director for Covington's active and always interesting arts venue, the Carnegie. For more information, see wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jane Durrell.